Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
You're on the trail, you've had those snacks, and you just, it's just not enough. You need a little bit something more, something different, something special. Well, now you can have those special goodies. They're called Cha-Chas. Sugar-coated rhino beetles covered in peanut oil. And they are going to give you the pick-me-up, and it's going to poke you in all the right places in that body to get it moving. Check it out at pokeme.beetlebugs. Hey, everybody, this is Derek, and with me today is the only man who washes his hands with sand and spit and also uses it as an aftershave and hand sanitizer on the trail, Carl Mandrioli. We got a good one today, buddy. We got a good one.
We do. Welcome to the Backpacking in Bushes podcast. With me today is Derek Somerville. He thinks monsters aren't good at math unless you count Dracula.
Okay. Are you going back, like, it's like the Sesame Street count?
Yeah.
Or no? Okay.
Correct, yeah. Guy. He's one of the best characters, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. The reason I did the math reference was because we're going to be talking about the Great Divide Trail today, right?
That was a stretch. But okay, we'll go with it.
Well, it's going to circle back towards the end as well. And indeed. So, yeah, we got Villain Jesse coming on the show because even though he did this over a year ago, he's just now getting his video series out, and I think it was worth the wait because I've had a chance to preview some of these, and wow. That's an amazing trail, man.
Amazing, yeah.
Yeah, amazing. So we're doing, kind of a different structured episode this time. So he's going to be on here in a couple minutes. But first, we've got our Bible verse of the episode, Mark 8:14. And they had forgotten to take bread and did not have more than one loaf in the boat with them.
No.
You know where I'm going with this. What do you think is the most forgotten item on a backpacking trip?
Most forgotten item. That's a good question. Is there like an official item, or was this just like a guess? I don't know.
It's just your opinion. It's an opinion. There's no right answer here.
I want to say I bet people forget bug spray. I know we don't bring it, but I bet people forget bug spray. Or obviously you forget pillows. Maybe like a toothbrush. Let's go toothbrush.
Okay.
Toothbrush.
Yeah. I would say spoon normally, but I think people actually bring the spoon and just can't find it in their backpack.
That's possible. Yeah, maybe they just had too much junk in there.
Yeah. So yeah, Jesse's gonna take us through some scenarios, and he forgot a pretty critical piece of gear and figured that out on day one. So we'll talk about that for sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, anything else you want to say before we jump in?
No, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Villain Jesse. We are here with the Gargamel of the backpacking world. We have Villain Jesse with us. How's it going, man?
I'm doing fantastic, you guys. How are you guys doing?
Good. Good. Wow. Sort of good. Good now. Sort of good now. Let's be honest. I got a couple things to talk about. Last episode, we talked about some of the feedback we got from our Grand Tetons episode, the narrative we did.
Yeah, I had a chance to listen to that recently.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Derek asked the question because I asked him what he predicted the feedback would be, and he's like, there's always got to be, you know, one person with a negative.
I had a feeling. I actually thought it was going to be Carl on his own trip. But,
you know. Here's my own negative feedback. So I revealed to everybody that you liked the episode, but you said it probably wasn't for everybody. And the overwhelming feedback we got was like, you know, tinker here or there, but for the most part, we liked it a lot. And so yours was the most negative of all the feedback. So thank you.
Well, that's fitting. You know, I'm here to be the negative Nancy, to be the villain, to tell people. I don't want you guys to succeed. So I think you should put that behind a paywall so that only people who can listen to it can pay for it, right? So then the good people of the masses don't have to hear that kind of craziness, right? And they don't get it. Because obviously if they want it, I don't want them to have it. That's
okay. Fair enough. That's reasonable. Yeah.
You know, at least he's clear-minded. He's clear-minded about what he wants or doesn't want, for that matter. So,
and here's the weird thing. This is like a separate thought, but kind of goes along with what, you know, Jesse's been talking about here is, I don't know where this came about, but a couple weeks ago, I actually had a dream, like a pretty vivid dream with Jesse as a main character in the dream. So did I tell you about this, Jesse?
No. Yeah, you told. I vaguely remember you telling me that you had a dream, but you were going to wait to tell me on air.
Okay, well, now it's time.
It's terrifying. Yeah, I forgot about this.
So here's a dream. Jesse owns a donut factory, and I go in to take him down for bad working conditions for all of his workers. Okay, and he's like, he's not having it, and so he starts shooting me with a peanut M&M gun.
Oh, that's a good weapon of choice.
I know. And I thought it was pretty cool. And I started like gathering the peanut M&Ms. I'm like, I'll just eat these. This is not a problem. And
Good call.
So then he somehow magically is like, yeah, I don't think that's, you know, really punishing Carl enough. So then he turns it into a throw up gun.
Oh, that's genius.
That's how it ended.
Dream Jesse, he took a turn for like, he like really, like he ramped that up to 100. It went from like peanut covered M&Ms to vomit. Wow. Like
just pure like, barf.
Waited.
The hatred is real. Carl, did you wake up and just like smell yourself?
I know, really.
Just to make sure.
Feel free to analyze. Know. I don't know what any of that means, but it's weird for sure.
We do.
I want to know, did Derek work in these poor working conditions? Did I like have him as a slave and you were trying to set him free in my donut mill?
Oh,
there's a good story.
Am I like the Princess Peach to your Mario?
There we go. Yes. Like, exactly.
And why? I don't think he's ever dreamed about me, Jesse. So I don't know. This is kind of should be flattering for you that he's dreaming about
you. I don't know if a vomit gun, if a dream that ends with a vomit gun could be called flattering in any situation, Derek. I'm sorry.
Right. Mm. Anyway, okay. I just thought that was weird. So
I mean,
there you go. That's not what this episode is about. So we have something called like a reverse interview going on. What is this?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I've been listening to you guys for years, and you guys have talked about all these tips and all these ideas that you guys have and suggestions, and you've gone on these backpacking trips, but you've never done something really intense. You've never done something really wild, a through hike. I mean, maybe you did years ago, Carl. Yeah, you can bring up Derek. You've been to Antarctica. Okay, whatever. But let's talk about real current things, like a through hike recently. On the wildest through hike, aka the Great Divide Trail, aka the roughest and the hardest, most remote trail in North America.
The GDT.
I want to know, the GDT, can you guys do it? Could you do it? How would you?
If I'm going solo, no, I'm not going to be by myself that long. So,
do I want to do it? I don't know.
Yeah.
Carl's questions for the like answers for the rest of the episode are like, yep, nope, I can't do that.
Not so.
Nope.
Am I
alone? Yeah. Nope, can't do it. I failed.
Pretty confident I could do it if I had one of you guys with me. But yeah, I know where you're going with this. And honestly, like what you just said right there was borderline insulting, but actually true. So it's kind of hard to naysay that.
Well, wow. That's my job as a villain, is speak the truth and...
Twist your words.
There we go.
That's going to be good.
Yeah,
so this is going to be good.
I'm going to throw some situations your guys' way, and these are situations that I actually experienced on the Great Divide Trail, and you guys are going to have to tell me what you would do in your own crazy shenanigan, Daryl and Derek and Carl. I just called you Daryl. Let's try that again.
That's fine. Darryl. That's fine.
Just call us Daryl.
Darl, you know, it's your couple name.
Carrick or Darl, either
Carrick
one.
Or Carrick or Darl, yeah.
Yeah, either one.
anyways, you guys are going to have to answer these questions in your own Derek and Carl shenanigan way. Okay. And I will tell you whether or not you would pass on the Great Divide Trail.
Carl, I mean, Carl, right away, I'm like, are they that hard? Because he survived, and here he is.
Yeah. But just to clarify, I think some of these scenarios are going to be hard, but just to clarify, this is kind of like a precursor for your release of the videos that took you only like a year and a quarter to put out, correct?
You know, it's probably harder than hiking the trail itself was putting these videos together.
I believe it.
Straight up. By the time this airs, those videos will be actually out. I have a trailer that gives you a taste and a teaser of what's to come on the whole series. And by now, I think the first episode, maybe even the second episode will be out. But the series will be rolling out as we speak. I'm excited.
Yeah, man. I'm excited too.
Bill and Jesse, is this considered like your legacy? Is this a big deal?
Yeah, this actually, I don't know if legacy, that sounds like a little bit too big, but something I want to be able to have and show to people. And honestly, I'm excited to show my kids one day and be like, hey.
A memoir, a strong memoir.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Or a memoir of failures. Here we go.
Fair enough.
I mean, Derek, don't you think, your kids in, I don't know, like 5 years when you start getting Alzheimer's are going to be listening to your old podcast episodes thinking like, man, this is what my dad sounded like when he was sharp.
Wow.
When he was sharp. Are they going to think he was sharp when they listen to these podcasts?
There it is.
I'm just saying, you guys.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Just when I thought Bill and Jesse was bringing us together, you pulled us back apart.
Yeah. That's correct. Okay. Correct.
Way to go.
All right, so we've got, so you've got the videos coming out. Just kind of side note on that, we've got links in the show description. I'll put them on our social media page. I've actually watched the first episode and the trailer, actually, and both are excellent. So highly recommend. I was going to say more, but I'm going to save it. So, all right, Jesse, what you got?
All right, situation number one. So you've heard that Parmesan cheese is an excellent source of calories. So you buy a big brick of Parmesan cheese, but you don't want to carry that all on trail. So you cut it up into bite-sized bits, wrap them in Saran wrap, and put them in your resupply boxes that you're going to be picking up throughout the trail. You get to one of these resupply boxes and you open it up. And after these boxes have been sitting in 90 to 100 degree weather, you have found that these Parmesan cheese packets have oozed stinky, smelly Parmesan cheese oil onto all your food, your snack packages, everything. What do you do?
You want to start us, Carl?
Well, I mean, he's kind of painting that in like a negative light, but wouldn't you kind of want Parmesan cheese juice all over your stuff?
I mean, that actually sounded really good.
Okay, you are in.
I don't see the problem here. Like,
you're in grizzly. Derek just takes it and starts rubbing it all over his chest. It's like, oh, here we go. Yeah.
I'm going to lick all of it up and absorb the calories that way. Derek, what about you?
You are in grizzly bear territory.
Okay, so you don't want to lick it up.
You don't want to be smelling like a tasty stick of Parmesan walking through the woods all day, every day, and then stopping and camping someplace where you are now a not walking stick of Parmesan. You're just a laying, sleepy, tasty stick of Parmesan.
I'm not really worried. I think a little known fact, I think grizzlies are more Gouda type bears, Gouda cheese bears. So I'm not really worried at this point.
Yeah.
Good call.
Oh, this is an interesting scenario, Jesse, to be, I know we're kind of goofing, but to be honest, I'm trying to think if I would actually wrap it in Saran wrap in the first place. Have you brought Parmesan cheese before, Derek?
No. I feel like I'd Ziploc it though.
Right.
Saran wrap's like 1985. That's like a good 1985 move there. Carl, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Would you just like walk down to the river and rinse everything off?
Well, not at the river, but I would clean it up as much as possible. I'm not too concerned with the grizzly bears because I feel like, I mean, if you're talking about like you smell like Parmesan cheese, therefore you're going to attract the bears. Well, when you put sunblock on, you smell like sunblock, and supposedly that attracts the bears too. So I'm not sure what the difference is. So, just clean it up and keep moving forward.
Well, I think I like Derek's response of he'd avoid the problem altogether and just put it in a Ziploc bag and fix it there.
Ziploc bag, Carl.
Yeah, that's what I would have had, but honestly, I guess I would bring like shaved Parmesan cheese so I can put that in my meals at night, but I don't know if I'd have a block. Maybe, I don't know.
Shaved? You're going to shave it?
ahead of time.
You gonna get the cheese grater and
oh yeah,
great cheese for like an hour before the trip?
Not yeah. for an hour.
So I washed every bag, everything that I had. Fortunately, I actually was still in a national park, so I was able to run to the outhouses oh. there and wash every single container and package off with oh, soap wow. and water, and then continue on the hike. So I mean, I
so now smells like soap. So you're just adding a different scent, right?
I don't know. I don't think soap is as smelly as Parmesan cheese. I mean, like it smelt like Parmesan cheese. Okay. Next.
I think. Yeah.
Oh, what are you gonna say?
Go ahead.
No. We're still talking about this because.
Well, I was gonna say mentally, it's a different thought. Like it's like oh, would you go eat like a bowl of cereal while you're going number two in the bathroom? Probably not, because you are smelling different things. You know what I mean? So you won't do that.
The same thing. You know, same-sies.
Same-sies. I'm saying if everything smells like Parmesan cheese, you're not really going to want to enjoy. It's just you get in a different mindset.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like soap means clean.
Okay. That part makes sense for sure. Yeah,
you want clean and fresh.
For sure.
You don't want oily yeah. and Parmesan-y.
Yeah, but showing up with like your gear soaked in something, like Derek is very used to that scenario, so he was ready to go.
Yeah, but
that
that's water. That's water. That's not the same thing.
Okay,
Carl. Yeah, thank you. And Carl would eat Parmesan cheese going number two, by the way.
So okay, next one is Jesse. That was a good one. What you got?
Next one. Okay, so you get onto the trail. You are on heading to your first camp of a 7-day trek before you get to the next town. And you sit down, you set up, you're ready for that sweet first meal of the backpacking journey.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
yes. I'm excited already.
You dig Same down, person. You get your meal ready, and you realize you forgot your fuel.
No.
Oh,
you have no fuel.
That's
yeah.
That okay. is brutal.
One other thing, there's fire bans, and it's been insanely hot and dry. So legit actually kind of scary if you start a fire. But
okay.
what do you do? Do you risk
start a
it?
Fire?
What do you do?
Oh, sorry.
Oh man, that's okay. rough.
Yeah,
that's rough.
So, Derek, as a veteran of forgetting things, what would you do?
Well, that's I learned from you. pillow, a great pillow master.
It was Bill, Carl. It was Bill. It like rolled out of the trailer. It wasn't
it rolled out. The trailer door was open. Things just fell out.
I bet you Bill and the Sasquatch are rolling on it right now.
There you go.
Probably just rolling it right now.
Snickers, you know? Snickers necklace and all.
Oh, for sure. I think this is a tough one. Because I mean, you know that feeling of like you can't wait for that hot meal, right?
Yeah.
If there's no option to heat it, there's no fuel, and you don't want to do a fire because there's like a legit danger. I mean, do you have to just bite the bullet and either like soak it in Parmesan oil or cold soak it?
Parmesan oil.
No.
Oh, okay. Bring it back.
That's why you want the Parmesan oil.
It's not cold soaking. It's Parmesan soaking.
You know?
I have, I don't have 2 cups of water. I got 2 cups of Parmesan oil.
I got that oil from earlier. That's like, old 100
it's
degree.
Like crunchy and Parmesan. That's the only that's textures. So, crunchy and Parmesan.
That's tasty.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
That was one of your best answers right there.
That was amazing.
Okay.
What are you going to do, Carl? You just going to sit on it like a mother goose and warm it up or what?
No, I know what he does. And so I have to, I'm trying, okay. I probably would have done what he did, to be honest, but maybe a little bit differently.
Yeah, Derek doesn't have all the information of this story, unfortunately.
I haven't got to see this. He sent it to me like, yeah. There
you go. Yeah. Well, no, it's better. I think it's better that you didn't know what he did. You're in a better spot. Yeah, because I think I would have answered this way.
We'll see. I'll tell you if you
yeah. will. Yeah. I guess I would have been looking for people that were hiking out to see if they had any, like, you know, partial fuels that they wanted to unload some extra weight on.
Mm.
And I just would be happy to take it off their hands. But if there's nobody around, I feel like if there's nobody around and I start like a little mini fire just to kind of boil my water, then somebody's going to walk by and then start shaking their finger at me. So I don't know.
Mm.
What I did was exactly that. There were some campers in this campsite with me, and I bit the bullet, went over to them, and was like, hey, does anyone have some fuel by any chance? And fortunately, one guy had an entire canister. They were hiking out the next day, and he hadn't even used it. He bought two, brought two, and he hadn't even used one. So it was actually more than I needed because it was a larger size than I needed,
yes.
But it saved. It saved it, right? Yeah, worth it. So
worth
but
it.
Yeah, I was worried I was going to have to be cold soaking.
Worth it.
Wait a second. Wait. So he brought two, and he only used one. Did you go into, you know, backcountry Ford mode, and you're like, you know, I have a way for you to shave some weight out of this pack here.
I told people this because people don't believe this. Like when I go on a 7-day trip, I'll only bring a small, like the smallest size fuel canister. And that lasts me. It lasts me exactly 7 days. It's tight. It's tight. I didn't have to be careful, but it will last me 7 days. And so I tell people all that time and they don't believe that. They're like, no. I'm going on a two day trip and I need a big size.
If you have an inefficient stove and if you're making coffee, I don't believe that.
You know what, Carl?
Coffee.
I hiked the GDT and I did it. Beat it.
Wait, okay. Well, tell me, did you have an inefficient stove? Did you make coffee?
Yep. I had the BRS 3000, which is some people think is, we've had this conversation before, you think is incredibly inefficient, and it is a fairly inefficient stove. And I made coffee every single morning. I even had hot breakfasts usually. I did not have hot lunches though.
You see how we switched this whole thing back into an interview at you?
Yeah. We gotta get this back on track here. Thank you, Gary.
No, I'm interested in this because I was just, when we did our Grand Tetons trip, we had a partial canister and then we had a full canister, and one guy was using an MSR stove with the full canister and that thing ran out in 3 days, and I had the partial canister with the jet boil and I still had fuel left over.
We could go back to the jet boil. This is why I'm against the jet boil, because I think it's entirely unnecessary.
Did you hear what I just said, though?
I know, because clearly somebody was doing something improperly, but if you do things properly, you should be good.
We were higher elevation, likely, and it was really cold. So there's two factors there.
Cold is a big thing. Elevation, probably. Huge. I was at pretty high elevation often on the GDT, so I don't know. But
okay, next one, Jesse. That was a good one. What you got?
You're camping at a campsite where a bear can get into the bear locker.
This sounds fake. A bear can't get into a bear locker. That's the whole purpose of the bear locker.
No, it's 100% real. And if you don't believe me, you can watch the first episode and you can actually see a video of the bear taking out the pin.
Jesse double downing on spoilers.
Spoilers, people. You can see it yourself. If you don't believe it, click the links in the description below.
Jesse's right. I saw the footage of it. Okay. It is ridiculous. That's probably my favorite single scene, actually, in the whole video.
What's so weird about how is the bear able to access this pin? Like, what's going on?
It's like a flip pin that, like, it's, I don't know what you would call those. Like
a latch?
So there's
a door handle.
So there's a typical...
A deadbolt.
what do you call like a trailer pin, like that goes through and then like there's like a trailer pin.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's scratch on that. So it's like a trailer pin latch that like goes through, and then there's also like a handle where you have to stick your hand to press the lever and actually pull the thing open. And the bear has learned that if he just pushes up hard enough on the pin, he can push it through, and then he can put his hand and his claws hit the little latch and he pulls it open. It's actually insane. There's a video of it. Yeah,
that's crazy. Mm. That's crazy.
Where do you put your food?
Bury it in the ground. I mean, I don't know. I mean, could you hang it from a tree? Like, do you have the option of hanging it from a tree?
Oh, that would be good, except for a wildfire had come through 3 years earlier and taken out literally all the trees in the area. They've actually cut down every tree in the entire campsite.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I guess at that point, I don't even know. Like, how deep can you bury it? They're just smell everything anyway. I guess I'm going to go bury it. I mean, I don't know. That's hard.
Really bury it? You're going to bury the food?
Cover it and then cover it with like the ashes of dead trees and then just cover it.
Oh my
god! Rub ashes of dead trees on it.
Yeah. So the bear probably couldn't dig that. Yeah,
obviously poop on it.
Wow.
Poop on it just in case. Okay, Carl, what do you do?
All right. I know that there's regulations for where you're supposed to camp in this area, but I don't care. I'm going to go farther down the trail. I'm going to camp in an illegal spot because safety first. I don't want to be attacked by a bear. I don't want the bear to take my food. And if the Park Service can't come up with a system that prevents the bear from taking my food, I'm taking matters into my own hands.
I love this answer. I don't know. I hope people don't. I don't know. I hope GDT listeners don't hear this and actually all start doing it, because that would be probably bad and ruin a ton of land. But I actually think that's actually a really good perspective. I felt super unsafe, and I can't believe that Parks hasn't dealt with this.
There's a really easy solution. The bear lockers are super expensive. I mean, that's like a hunk of metal, All they've got to do is put in a couple of poles, the bear wire where you can lift your pack or lift your food bag.
Yep.
The bears can't get it. It doesn't take up as much space, and it's way safer, way more cost-effective.
Realistically, this bear should have already been removed from this park. Like, he should have been trapped and removed. He's done this multiple times. They have footage of him doing this. Like, there's no reason this bear should still be here.
So they have footage of him doing it, and they still just don't do anything about it.
Yeah. That's crazy. It actually blows my mind that parks didn't do anything. So I actually think that was a good answer. Okay.
Wait, is this Waterton Lakes Park?
Yes, this is Waterton Lakes.
Okay, so Waterton, if you're a ranger working for Waterton Lakes Park, if you'd like to hire Derek and I to do some bear removal, we volunteer.
Oh, all about it. Let's go. Let's go. I will slather Carl in Parmesan oil. And I will, hey bear, I'll get him over there. We'll figure it out. And I could probably film it.
And then Carl will just run towards the bear, and that will shock the bear.
Oh, yeah.
And somehow that works.
I'll get it on a GoPro. We'll be good.
Yeah.
It'll be great. Yeah.
All right. That was a good one. Seriously, if you don't watch, if you're not interested in watching the video except for this, even just watching that part is worth it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. Okay. You are hiking. You're hiking to your resupply point, and your shoes have started to break on the last trail. They are showing holes and wear and tear, and they are literally hanging on by just a few threads on one of your shoes.
Nice.
But you're okay. You've got a new set of shoes coming for you. Mm. You've told your roommate to give somebody who's meeting you on trail the exact pair of shoes that you need. They're waiting for you there. You get there, and you find out that your roommate accidentally gave you winter hiking boots that have no tread left on them.
That is beautiful.
What do you have 8 days of strenuous hiking before you hit the next town? Right. What do you do?
That's an easy one.
I can describe the scenario in more detail, not even knowing the scenario.
Okay,
what you did was you specified which shoes to bring.
Yes.
You emphasized you left those shoes out, then you hid all other shoes in impossible places to find, and the roommate still dug up the winter hiking boots and sent those along anyway.
Wow.
We talked about this in the last episode, didn't we?
No. We just have the same kind of friends.
Oh, okay. Yeah, pretty much. I told them specifically, there's a box of brand new hiking shoes that are gray, and he found a massive box that was just filled with tons of junk that was actually like a Goodwill box. Oh. And he found in that box, he found a old ratty tatty pair of winter hiking boots. They were gray though. I'll give him that much.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you do?
The shoes thing's tough because that's a big ask to rely on a friend to do that. And so.
Yeah, that was your first mistake.
I don't know, Derek. Would I trust you with bringing me proper footwear, even if I specified?
Would you trust me? Of course you trust me. Absolutely.
I think so.
You would. Yeah.
So. Part of the issue here was that at the next town, I was going to be getting picked up and I was going to go back home. And so my plan was to pick up the shoes myself, but my shoes broke before I expected them to. So I needed those shoes earlier than I anticipated. Mm. And so I needed somebody to send them to me. That was the issue.
Yikes.
Okay.
Yikes.
Yeah. But what?
All right, Derek, what do you do?
Yeah. What do you do?
I think step one, you get a new roommate.
Done. Finished.
Yeah, I think
got married. And so it's even better.
There you go. Take his shoes and give him your shoes. I don't know if that's an option. Is that an option? No.
It wasn't my roommate who brought my shoes. My roommate gave them to a guy who I was going to hike with. And he brought them to me. And he actually did offer me his shoes, but
Did he really?
Yeah, I couldn't do it though. I couldn't. Anyways, but what do you do?
All right. And that guy, just to clarify, the guy that brought him the shoes, Derek, that was you and I were not that guy that got invited to go with him.
No, you weren't.
Yes, this is awkward.
See, Carl, I don't offer you fake invites. I just don't offer you invites.
Correct.
Period. True.
Correct.
I like that.
All right, so I got the solution. I think that you've already used this solution before with a different scenario where you went up to some hikers that are on their way out. You got some fuel. It's time to go up to some hikers on their way out and say, can I have your shoes?
Oh, gross. Oh, man. Yeah, that's,
who are you?
That's bold. That's shameless. Shameless, Carl.
Carl has no shame. Doesn't care.
Yeah. Wow. But it is an idea, though. I honestly didn't think about that. Okay, Derek, what would you do?
If you're desperate enough. I mean, I think that's where you just whip out the duct tape and keep the shoes on. Do you have duct tape in there? I mean,
I have duct tape.
Can he bring you duct tape over shoes? I think I trust him with duct tape.
I had duct tape, and I used, and so you're not wrong. I used duct tape, and unfortunately, the duct tape fell off. And then I actually used super glue and duct tape, and I was able to create a temporary fix, at least for like half a day. But yeah. Okay. Well, good.
That's rough.
Yeah, it was rough. My feet hurt for like months afterwards, and I think it was because of that section of trail, like 100%. literal months.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah.
I've seen people bring duct tape. We had Brian from Ohio on one of our Patreon trips. He had duct tape. His shoe was falling apart as well. And he made it work for the rest of the trip, but I don't think it was going to last much longer than that.
We had a buddy use a safety pin for his flip-flops.
Remember? Oh, that's a good idea.
But he's just asking for it at that point. Jesse wasn't really asking for problems, right?
I feel like if you're wearing flip-flops, you could bring a spare pair. And it's not like the end of the world. But extra shoes, that's a lot.
For sure. Man, Jesse, you encounter some pretty good challenges here, and
this is just the surface. Scratching.
I know
surface.
there's something you haven't even talked about that was in the video.
I think obviously Jesse probably had some slippers in the bag. You just get the slippers out or the Crocs.
That's what I should have done. And my sweatpants.
Well, that's a gimme.
Pajama pants.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. Derek wants to keep talking about the shoes, though. Any other thoughts, Derek, you got there?
pass.
I'm like closing it out. You're like, well, there's other shoe options that we have. We got some slippers.
Yes, you're right. I'm the only one who goes down rabbit holes and tangents. My bad. That's my fault.
All right.
Wow.
I think for more adventure, I think that definitely check out the videos. Well, like I said, we'll link them in our show description and our social media. And man, I just love this is like, this reverse interview is kind of a role reversal where we see other people having challenges, and rather than kind of poking fun at some of the silly things that happen to us, it's nice to know that silly things happen to other folks as well. So that's good.
Yeah, but more silly things happen to you guys. Let's be real.
All right, my friend. That was a reverse interview. That was pretty cool.
Ooh, that was unexpected, but I feel like we passed, even though we've apparently failed. I felt like we would have held our own. I don't know. What would you? You don't think you would have made it, or what? Like with the shoes?
I think we had some good answers for sure. The shoes, I feel like you had the better answer than I did. I don't really know. I would have worn the hiking boots, I suppose, if they were mine. I could have toughed it out for a couple of days, but
that would have been rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that I'm relying. It's tough to rely on other people to deliver things.
It is. But when you're in that boat of like something's falling apart, you kind of have to, right?
Yeah. So I did this long endurance event. This is a long time ago with Rocky in Yosemite. And it was like this 30-mile trail. We're doing it in one day. Mm-hmm. And I was very mindful of how like famished I was going to be at the end of the trail. So I had all sorts of like, goodies and blueberries and antioxidant stuff. And I kind of packed and I was like, I want all this right when I finish. But I had to rely on a member of my family to like leave the vehicle at the trailhead. Yeah. And when we got there,
no vehicle.
Not only was the vehicle not there, we had to like wait an extra half an hour for somebody to show up and hope that they were showing up because there was like nobody around.
What?
Yeah. And so we were famished. Like we were wiped out after 9 hours on the trail of just kind of getting after it. And so I think I handled it okay, but I was really upset, to be honest.
What was the reason? Like what happened?
They were just kind of off doing their own thing. They just didn't really like care.
Wow.
It wasn't my wife. It was an older member of our family. It was somebody who just was like, yeah, it's not really a priority. Even though I was like, it was my vehicle and I don't know.
It's a lot of lack of empathy. We'll go with that. That's terrible. Right. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So it probably was more my fault in the end for trying to plan that event in the midst of all, of a family trip. I think I was being a little selfish there, but we had planned that first. And then I invited everybody else to kind of join as kind of the structure. But anyway, well, any other takeaways from Jesse's?
I mean, self? great scenarios. I mean, obviously he had some struggles that nobody wants to endure with backpacks and shoes and, equipment failure and all this stuff. I feel like did he prep well enough? Because there's so many things that went wrong. Like, did he prep well enough overall? I mean,
yeah, I mean, it's hard to, when you're doing a massive trip like this with so many moving parts and pieces and, that's a great question. Maybe not. going by yourself, just, you know, you have nobody to kind of bounce ideas off of in that regard. Right, but I think, right. yeah, what makes me sort of feel better about some of our ridiculous situations is, you know, we get people that listen in on our stories and then they just kind of respond in judgment. They're like, you guys need to do this better and this better and this better, implying that their trips go perfectly without a hitch, right?
Correct.
When really, there's always an issue going on. Always.
Yeah. I think there's something every trip. And if, you know, it's kind of, again, I'm going to say this till I die. It's like, I think it's kind of enjoyable when you have a little hiccup here and there because it makes it more adventurous.
You like the challenge, you like the obstacles. I just think that you're going to have more of these hiccups, as you're saying, when you bring characters along. And I would rather bring characters that are interesting people along than just, you know, have somebody, you know, shushing me on the mountaintops, so to speak.
Shushing. When you crumble the edge of a trail like I did and you get, you know, reprimanded viciously and swiftly, it's,
Oh my gosh, I thought of you the other day because my son turned on like an old episode of Mythbusters and they were out in the Utah desert doing like a survival scenario.
Oh.
And so they were like dropped somewhere and then they had to use duct tape to kind of like, you know, move all their gear from point A to point B. And they were not on a trail. They were just plowing through the crust of it. Like it was just completely destroying it. I just thought, but they were outside a national park and I thought, you know, this is really well protected inside the park. But man, you step outside and people are all over the place.
Oh man. Everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
those
funny.
Those darn Mythbusters. Okay.
That's funny.
All right. Well, thanks again to Jesse for coming on the show. And yeah, please check out his stuff on YouTube. I think he would appreciate that. Give him some feedback, leave some comments. And yeah.
Do we have some trivia? We got some trivia.
We got some trivia. We got, since it's the Great Divide Trail, I've got division trivia.
Oh boy.
Coming up right after this.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Division trivia, my friend. Here we go. We're still tied 1-1. We each have a loss. So,
ooh, okay.
What is 5 divided by 10?
This is what you want to do?
Yeah, this is question number one. It's division trivia.
You want to do like legit math problems?
Yeah.
Is what you want to do?
You're smart.
All right. I guess I'm smart. All right. Okay. 5 divided by 10 is backwards. It's just like 0.5. It's like,
yeah. Good job. Good job. Yeah. I thought you might blow through that and think it was 2, but no, you got that one right. All right.
No. I've been doing fifth grade math with my daughter all year. So here we go. I'll be on it.
Number 2, who nailed 95 theses to a church door in order to divide the Catholic Church into 2 different parts?
95 what to the door?
Theses.
Oh, theses. Okay, yeah. Like I thought you said feces. I was like,
yeah, there might have been a little bit of that too.
Feces and theses. So yeah. They nailed 95 of these to the door?
To the door of a church to divide the Catholic Church into 2 different parts, 2 different sects, so to speak.
Uh-huh. So who was it, do you want me to solve the 95 divided by 2?
I used the word divide in dividing the church, my friend. See what I did there?
95 divided by 2 is 47.5. Let's get that out of the way. I have no clue. I don't remember this one.
All right. His name is Martin Luther.
Oh, I mean, come on.
Yeah. Started the Protestant church. Kind of a big deal.
We'll go half point on that. Okay. 47.5.
No. Okay. All right, well, third one, you got to get this one right to pass. It is multiple choice.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Okay.
Which of the following is not a type of division in the U.S. Army, either modern or historical?
Oh, shoot. I don't know. Okay. That's okay.
Not a type of division. So you got A, cavalry, B, infantry, C, mountain, or D, naval.
Ooh. This is.
So this could be modern or historical division.
This is divisions of military?
Of U.S. Army.
Oh, geez. Okay, so you got mountain, cavalry,
infantry, naval.
Oh, gosh. Infantry and naval? Division of infantry, division of naval, division of cavalry? Cavalry sounds old, but sounds legit.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
I hate your tone right now. I hate your tone.
This is like tension because you might fail a trivia. This is rare for you.
I mean, geez. Okay, let me.
It is multiple choice, though. It's multiple choice. Right. So we'll see.
So we have, I think there's definitely an infantry. I think there's an airborne. Well, you didn't say airborne, did you? You didn't say airborne.
I did not say airborne, but you're correct.
There's definitely an airborne.
Yeah. Are you looking it up now? Is that how you get that one?
No, I wish.
I wish
I could do it. I'm going to go with. This is probably going to be wrong. Mountain. I'm going to go mountain.
Mountain is incorrect.
Yeah, I know.
Really, the Navy? The Navy's not in the Army, dude. Naval Division?
Oh.
That was a catch an obvious dude, one.
We've been recording far too long today. It's so late right now, too.
Okay.
I should have known that.
So, all right, 2-1, but wow. we got a long way to go, man.
A long way to go.
Let's be honest. With the type of questions you ask me, this is going to be just a blip on the radar here.
That's fair. That's fair.
All right. I got one tidbit. Just a quick reminder. I haven't put this out for a while, but yeah, please, if you are on Strava or plan to be on Strava, I've got a few folks have kind of joined up, and it'd be cool just to kind of track each other, especially as we get to training. And I'm just trying to throw as much encouragement out there as possible. I will follow you back. I'm under Carl Mandrioli. Rocky is under Red River. And just kind of check it out if you're on that app. And no judgment. You go fast, you go slow, you do a lot, you do a little bit. We just want to be encouraging to each other. So check out the Strava. And that, my friend, is all I got.
That's all I got. Guys, check out the social handles, Facebook, Instagram, and Patreon at Backpacking Blisters Podcast. We will see you next time. Adios. I want to fly. I was just thinking to myself, like, if you ever go on a trip with Jesse, I mean, look, I know he, like, quote unquote, learned from his lessons. I know he, quote unquote, you know, is going to do better next time or whatever. But, like, look, I'm bringing mousetraps with me anytime I go with him, because if he's bringing Parmesan and melting Parmesan, like, I'm not going to sleep well. And I'm going to be hearing traps snapping all over him and near his tent and everywhere. So better safe than sorry, Jess. Keep the cheese at home or get the Ziploc. Do it.